Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Welcome as we prepare to learn Parshas Vayera. Let me start with Aharon, the first part of the Parsha. Go to the end, and let's see where it leads us. In the beginning of the Parsha, of course, we have Avram being Machnis Arachim, where he greets the three Arabs walking and is Machnas Ayrach, which is seen as a tremendous midah, of course, of Avraham Avinu on the third day of his milah. From this, we learn out certain aspects of Hachnasas Arachim. The Gemara in Bava Kama, after Zion, at the end of the first parak, tells us that Yirmiyah was mispal regarding the Anshe Hanasas, regarding his enemies who put him into jail, that even when they do mitzvahs, even when they give tzedakah, Yirmiyah was mispal that his enemies shouldn't have any exclusive. And that even when they come to give tzedakah, please see to it that the people they give tzedakah to are people that are fakers, that are phonies, that don't deserve tzedakah. Seems from that Gemara that chesed, which is done with good intention, but with the recipient not really being someone deserving of chesed, is not chesed. If that's the case, it seems quite strange that our example of chesed is Avraham Avinu here, the beginning of Parshas Vayera, feeding malachim, people who had no need for the food. According to the Gemara, they only made themselves as if they were eating and didn't really eat. Is this chesed? This would seem to not really be chesed, because in fact, they were not needy. They were not people that needed the chesed. But there seems to be a contradiction here. It seems to say that it's a maila. The Gemara Bava Kama seems to say that it is not. The answer lies in the aside of Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan, in his drashas in the back of Kovetz Mamarim, explains the Gemara Bava Kama after Zion based on a very basic aside of the Mesilas Yesharim, which we all should know. Mesilas Yesharim tells us that in every key of mitzvah, every time a person does a mitzvah, there are two parts. There's the guf ha-mitzvah, the etzah mitzvah that the person is doing, and that is a tikkun in and of itself. Mesakein, as we say, Esfiras Ha'imer, it's mesakein the olamais, it does something in the world, because it's a tremendous chesed, because it's a mitzvah that does a tikkun. And there's also the idea that a person is mekayim ratzon Hashem, that a person is a faithful Eved Hashem and does what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do. Rabbi Chanan explains that sometimes you can have a mitzvah, you have one without the other. You have a person who does a mitzvah, shalei l'shma. A person takes a lulav and shakes the lulav, not because he wants to do Ratzon Hashem, but because he has social pressure, which forces him to do it. Such a person has the key of mitzvah. He was mekayim the mitzvah, but he's lacking in the aspect of Eved Hashem. Lacking in the aspect where he's doing a kiyum ratzon Hashem, because he's not doing it because Hashem said so. He's doing it for some other reason. On the other hand, if you have a person who goes to do a mitzvah, he shakes a lulav. But it turns out that the lulav is possible. And he's an einis. He bought it from a reliable person, and somehow that person was fooled, and he went and he shook a lulav in Esrig, and it was possible. If he did a lishma, he still has the part of the mitzvah of Kiyam Eved Hashem. It was Ratzalase's mitzvah, B'nan Asalayasa. He's missing the mitzvah. He can't say because he wanted to do it, he did it, he didn't do it. The Eved Hashem aspect he has. So that, there are two parts to a mitzvah, and you can have someone who has one and not the other. In the case of giving tzedakah to a person that's not deserving, if a person is giving tzedakah or chesed l'shma, even if the recipient is not deserving, he's missing in the kiyum ha-mitzvah, in doing the mitzvah. However, in the Eved Hashem aspect, he's still showing that he's an Eved Hashem, because his intention is to do the mitzvah. In the case of Yirmiyah and the Anshei HaNasais and his enemies, he knew that they were Mekayim Mitzvah Shalei Lishma, that they gave tzedakah only because of social pressure. But it turns out, of Eved Hashem, that aspect of the mitzvah they don't have. What do they have? The Kiyum Mitzvah itself. See, he was espoused that even the Kiyum Mitzvah shouldn't happen, that the Kiyum Mitzvah shouldn't take place. On the other hand, Avraham Avinu, even though it's true, he had no kiyum mitzvah of tzedakah. It wasn't a chesed, because the people didn't need not the tzedakah, not the chesed, they were malachim. However, as far as doing Ratzon Hashem, being an Eved Hashem, fulfilling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, since he set out to do it, it was a kiyum. And that's a fundamental difference between the case of Avraham Avinu and the Anshei Hanasos. There's a byproduct of this limud, and that is, in Pirkei Avos we're told to be mashiv every mitzvah. Now the Rambam says we actually do know that some mitzvahs are more important than others. A mitzvah that there's a chiyuv misa for is more important than a mitzvah for which there's no punishment. However, based on what we're saying, it turns out as follows. When you do a mitzvah of greater importance, let's say make Kiddush or Shabbos, a very chashuv mitzvah, in the kiyum mitzvah aspect, you have a higher madrega. As far as the Eved Hashem aspect, the more important the mitzvah is, the less it shows you're an Eved Hashem. Because someone who's faithful to the king a little will do his most important commandments and not the less significant ones. But turns out, is a reverse relationship. Those mitzvahs are super important. In the mitzvah itself is a greater kiyum. In Eved Hashem, it's less. When you do mitzvahs which are technically less significant, in the kiyum mitzvah could be the mitzvahs that are less significant. But in the Eved Hashem aspect, you do even that, it's a greater kiyum. So as I said at the outset, this is an important lesson. Gevaldik alimud, kloli, kiyum mitzvahs. Let's turn to the end of the parasha, to the Akedah, which comes here at the end of the parasha. Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah we blow shofar. Why do we blow shofar? The Torah says blow shofar. But the Gemara says, Lama v'shofar shalayim. Why do we prefer the shofar of a ram? It says to remind ourselves of the ayil of Akedah Yitzchak. As you know, at the end of the Akedah, the Yisav Ram Esena v'yar v'ne ayil achar nachas v'sach v'karno v'yech l'avram v'yikach zayiv alayil oyla tachas v'nai. The ayil is sacrificed in place of Yitzchak. To remember that ayil, we blow shofar. Shimon Schwab has a gewaldic point which he makes, not in his Sefer on this week's parasha, but in regard to the Yamin Meiran. He asks, if you want to remember the ayil of Yitzchak Avinu, why remember it with the horn? If you wanted somehow to do something that reminded you of this creature, of this ayil, you should find some other aspect of the animal, an Eiver Shehaneshama Taluya Bai, some aspect of it, of the ayil, which is of greater significance than the horn. The horn is not even something an animal needs to live. Why is the horn the part of this ayil, which is somehow projected as a remembrance of the Akedah? And the answer is gewaldic, as follows. What was special about the horn of this ayil? This ayil was nechaz basfach b'karno. This ayil, this ram, was captured because it had caught its horns in the undergrowth, in the, what was growing in the area of the Akedah, and therefore could not run away. The horns are what trapped it. Why is that important? Because this ayil was actually created in Sheshes Yimei Bereishis. This ayil was over 2,000 years old. This ayil for 2,000 years had successfully escaped hunters or devour it. This animal was great at getting away. When the time came for the ayil to be at a certain point, at a certain place, at a certain time, the horns got stuck in the growth and it could not get away. The lesson of the horns of the Karen is that when the Rebbeinu Shalom wants someone or something to be at a certain point, at a certain place, at a certain time, it happens. To remember Akedah, we really could remember the Akedah with any part of the animal. But once we're remembering it, the Torah is Koveya, it sets up, that we remember with the Keren. Because that's a fundamental lesson, especially on Rosh Hashanah, that the person is where he's supposed to be. Someone our family knows had once told us of an incident. They live out of town, the Hasidim of a Rebbe here in Brooklyn. And they were flying to the Rebbe for Rosh Hashanah. Their flight had some sort sort of a delay, and then after it took off, there were some problems with the engine. And the flight landed in Texas, in some city in Texas. And they realized that they would not be able to make it to Brooklyn for Rosh Hashanah. They called the Rebbe from this city in Texas, and they told the Rebbe what had happened. This halosh, and they said, something happened, and we got stuck in Texas. We're not going to be at the Rebbe for Rosh Hashanah. And the Rebbe responded, stuck? But you... somewhere because of Hashgacha Pratis. You're never stuck. That's the lesson of the Karen. That wherever you may be, you're there not because you're stuck, but because you're supposed to be there. So one lesson at the beginning, one lesson at the end. Now let me tell you something I struggle with in the parasha. A difficult question. As you know, in the beginning of the parasha, Sarah laughs when she hears that she's going to have a child. She knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the of it really being possible that when she was told about it, it was a turnaround. It was something that made her laugh. And for that, she was guilty. She shouldn't have thought it was something so distant that could have happened. I don't understand. At the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, we read, Vayomer Elokim El Avraham, Sarai Yishtecha Leisikra Shema Sarai Ki Sara Shema. Change her name from Sarai to Sarah. And also I will give you a son from her. She will bear a child for you. Why didn't Avram tell Sarah this message that he had received? It's a very difficult question. The Ramban actually, in the beginning of this week's parasha, Pasuk Tezvav LeTezayin, is bothered by the question, but his answers are difficult to understand. One answer he says is that maybe Avram was very busy. He was preparing for the Bris Milah. He didn't get around to it. It's a little hard to understand how long does it take to tell your wife that God said you're going to have a child. He also says maybe he understood that Hashem wanted to tell himself. It's also something that's very difficult to understand because Avram was commanded. So they woke up the next morning. And he says, good morning, Sarah. And she says, my name is Sarai. Avram had to obey Hashem's command and say, Sarah. So what in the world was going on? If this nevuah was not to be told over, why did he, how did he fulfill it? Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant him to tell Sarah about this command. It's a very, very difficult question, and it's compounded by the fact that it happens again at the end of the parasha by the Akedah, where Avram again doesn't tell Sarah that he's going to the Akedah. There must be something here, some deeper message, some lesson. I doubt it's meant to teach us not to talk to our wives too often. And it's something which we would do well to find someone to explain a little better. One last question, a difficulty. In Tfilas Geshem, when we daven for rain not too long ago, we said the following lashon regarding Yitzchak. Nechar ha-nailad b'besayras yukach nomad mayim. Remember, Yitzchak was born with the good news given at the time of Yukach Na'amat Mayim at the beginning of this week's parasha. Then it refers to the end of the parasha. Yisachta lahirai l'shachtai l'shbach damak ha-mayim. And you spoke to his father to shacht him, to pour his blood like water. This language of Tzilas Geshem, I don't know who wrote it, certainly an Adam Godwin, it's an Asidr, contradicts something that Rashi says in this week's parasha. Rashi, in the parasha, Perichov Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, tells us that Avram asked the Rabbi Nishalem, didn't you tell me to kill my son? And Rabbi Nishalem says that it's not true. I never told you shecht him. I said, bring him up. You've brought him up onto the Mizbeach, now take him down. So that the whole point is that the Rosh Hashanah never told them Shachteyu. So it's a little strange that here in Tfilas Geshem we say V'sachta lahirai l'shachtai. And you said to his father L'shachtai t'shachtim L'shmachtam l'kamayim. It didn't happen. So Rechiyim, a good Shabbos to one and all.